Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Of course, we assembled today knowing that this Sunday is quite a bit different than last Sunday. It's been a week of unexpected events, expected but unexpected. And we're going to miss our beloved brother Charles immensely. There's not a soul here that his life didn't touch and that he didn't care for. He cared greatly for this congregation and made many sacrifices for it to come into existence and for it to continue. He's made sacrifices towards each and every one of us, I believe, individually in many ways. Clearly, he loved each and every one of us. He loved the Lord. Strive to live a life that was the life of faith that is given to us in His Word, and Charles encouraged us to do the same, as many of you know. I couldn't help but think Wednesday night as we were assembled and singing, I think, the last song that, you know, we are in fellowship with God, and yet because of the faith that God has given to us, and we walk in that faith. Charles walked in that faith, and even though he has departed from us in person, he is still with us in spirit and in faith. I had a feeling of fellowship with him Wednesday night that was so special, even though I knew he had departed to be with the Lord. And just as we know that we're in fellowship with the Lord, in times such as this, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. I hope that you sense the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when we assemble to worship. And I hope you feel the spirit of not only of Charles, but of many others that have walked in faith and have set an example for us. When we come together, there's no time more special that we are close to one another. A lot of people told me that yesterday's funeral sermon was going to be hard for me, and it was. But to be quite honest with you, this sermon is harder. Coming together and knowing that Charles would love to be with us. He was here when I didn't think he should have been. His health didn't really permit it, but he wanted to be here. And so I hope that you feel as I do, that in one sense or another, he is with us. Couldn't help but think that even though Charles isn't with us, that we're still together. And the Bible talks about that, how that we are not individual Christians trying to just work out our own salvation all by ourselves, but we're to encourage one another. There's a phrase that occurs several times throughout the Bible. It says, "Let us." And it's interesting the context that it appears in and what it encourages us to do. Sometimes it's talking about "let us" from an individual perspective, but other times it's talking about let us collectively do these things. We are to fear or respect God and value our soul. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear or revere God, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to have come short of it." Now, you realize that the book of Hebrews was written at a time when Jewish Christians were saying, we need to bring elements of the Mosaic law into our practice of the law of Christ. And, of course, the apostles and the prophets of the first century corrected that error. And the book of Hebrews is all about correcting that error, and yet at the same time, referring back to the history of the Jews and showing that in principle that is something that we should learn from. The Jews of the days of Moses and before were, their history is a history of faith and faithlessness. It's a time that they were on great spiritual highs and other times when they completely turned their back upon God. There were times that God delivered them and they rejoiced, and there were times it seemed like they forgot about their deliverance and fell back into the ways of the world. We're to learn. The Hebrew writer here is saying, you know, what was wrong with our brethren of the past is that they forgot to revere God. They forgot to walk in His way. And so He's saying, let us fear, lest the promise left to us will come short of it. You know, some of those who departed from Egyptian slavery didn't make it. In fact, an entire generation, all but two of those who fled from Egyptian slavery, died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They had the promise of a promised land, and all they had to do was believe, but they began to doubt and trust in themselves more than in God. He says, don't make that same mistake. Let us revere God. As we've noticed so many times, if we're going to revere God, then we must keep His commandments and glorify Him in doing so. In the third chapter of Hebrews, verses 16 through 19, it says, some, when they heard, provoked Him. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was He grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware He that they should not enter into His rest, but to them that did not believe? So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, we read, watch, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. That word quit is an interesting word in the King James and New King James and some others. What's it mean? Well, literally it's translated live like men, live like a man. Be mature, be strong, be responsible. Stand fast in the faith, be courageous. Don't draw back, but stand on the front line. Be strong. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in the first 11 verses, we read, the times and seasons, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness. Those who are not prepared, those who walk in the darkness rather than in the light of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the light of His Word, are not prepared for His coming. They will not be prepared. They won't have time to be prepared when they hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Be too late. Time to prepare is now. But He says, brethren, you're not of them. You don't live in the darkness. You've come out of the darkness of your sin to walk in the light of Christ. You're not in the darkness that day of His coming should overtake us as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. You are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Don't make a mistake like the Hebrews of the past and go to sleep now. You've come out of the darkness to walk in the light. Continue to walk in the light. Let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. Individually, I need to watch for myself and be sober. And as a brother or sister in Christ, we need to watch and look out for one another. We need to be sober about this. Be serious about it. For they that sleep sleep in the night. And they that are drunken in the night. Let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on a breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has appointed us, has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain the salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with Him. If you emphasize the part that I have underlined there in verse 9, the positive, eliminate the negative and accentuate the positive, God has appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's something to rejoice in, isn't it? That's something to realize that He's appointed us to obtain that. Have we yet obtained it? Well, yeah, we have salvation in Christ, but don't let go of your salvation. Stay awake. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. You see, we're not in this alone. We're in this together. Comfort one another. Edify one another. Look at what we have in Christ and emphasize that. Let us be diligent in this. Again, we come back to Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, therefore, it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Some entered in, some did not enter in. Why did they not enter in? Because of unbelief. They didn't remain diligent. In Hebrews 4, a few verses later, verses 9 and 10, he says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works. As God ceased from his works. He's talking about, and the next point is going to emphasize the fact that on the seventh day, God rested from the work of creation. And this is what this is having reference to. God ceased from His works of creation. Well, we have entered into a rest with God. A rest from what? A rest from our sin. A rest from living in darkness. We don't do that anymore. We've entered into a rest that involves being yoked with Christ in doing the works of righteousness. And so verse 11 he says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The Hebrews present us examples of belief and unbelief, and unbelief after they believe. He says, don't make that mistake. Don't believe and then not believe. Remain faithful. Be diligent. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure or secure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. What things? Add to your faith. Mature your faith. Continue to mature your faith. If you do these things, you will never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make it secure. You know, if you had a boat and you pulled it up to a pier, and you wanted your boat to stay there, you'd take your rope and attach it to your boat and attach it to the pier. Would you just kind of take it around there a couple times and walk away from it and hope that the boat would stay there? If it was a windy day, it's probably not going to stay there. No, you'd secure it. You'd wrap it several times and know how to tie a good knot, and it's not going to move. We need to secure our hope of salvation. That's what he's talking about here. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, You will not fall. You don't have anything to worry about. But be diligent to do these things. And let us encourage one another to be doing these things. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Again, Hebrews 4 and verse 4, he says, He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this ways. God did rest the seventh day from all of His works. In chapter 3 of verse 6, it says, Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of hope, firm unto the end. Why do we have a hope of eternal life? Because it's based upon the Word of God. It's not based upon how I feel in my heart or what I think or what my parents have told me or what my friends have told me. It's based upon what God's Word says, that if you do these things, you have an inheritance with God. If you do these things, not only do you have a home with God hereafter, you are the house of God here and now. What does that mean? Why do you build a house? Do you own a house? Do you live in a house? Or an apartment? Why is it there? It's built for things to be there, for people to be there, to live there. What's he saying? God lives in you. He dwells in you. Rejoice in that. Because you abide in His Word, He abides in you. How many times throughout the Gospels did Jesus make that point to us? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14 says, We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Don't let go. Don't turn back. Keep going forward. Keep growing in Christ. Keep encouraging each other to grow in Christ. And so we come to Hebrews 10 and verse 23, where we read, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. God doesn't waver in His promise to us. It is a sure promise that if we love Him and keep His commandments, He abides in us and we abide in Him here and hereafter, forever and ever and ever. Make your calling and election sure. Hold fast the profession of your faith. In Luke 21 and verse 19, Jesus said, In your patience you possess your souls. Now what does He mean by that? He means in your endurance, in your keeping on, keeping on. And you're not growing weary. In your steadfast commitment to always live to the honor and the praise of God, you possess your souls. It will lead you to His Word, and His Word will lead you in paths of righteousness, and walking and practicing that righteousness will honor and glorify God, and you will live in His glory hereafter. Chapter 6 of Hebrews in verses 11 and 12, it says, We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Don't quit in your patience. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't look back. Keep following those who have been faithful. Those who you have an example that are set forth as an example to us in Scripture, and those who have been led and guided by the Word of God and have set an example here in our lives. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Did they inherit the promise of God? Yes, they did. And you will too. Revelation 12 and verse 17 is really, 12th chapter of Revelation kind of starts over again. It's a middle point, but it's talking about the church has been established. God has gained a great victory in Christ and His church, but Satan didn't quit. Satan's still trying to destroy everything that God ever did that was good, including the church. set forth here in these words, the dragon was wroth with the woman. The woman is the church. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's us. That's Christians of every generation that followed the first generation, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're at war. We're at war with Satan. But our captain is Jesus Christ. And we cannot be defeated as long as we wear His armor, a breastplate of righteousness and a shield of faith and that helmet of the hope of our salvation, and we bear the sword of the Spirit. We let it cut to the dividing of soul and spirit. We let it cut ourselves, and we let that word of God also cut into the sin of the lives of others and let them know that they can come out of that sin and come into a blessed relationship with Almighty God. Revelation 14 and verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What's he saying? He's looking at saints with Christ, with God, around the throne of God. In your patience, you possess your souls. Look where your patience gets you. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. See where they are? They're with God. You can see them in that heavenly place. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Not their faith. Not what they think they should do. They do what the Lord has told them to do. And so, let us come with confidence to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 and verses 14 through 16 says, seeing then that we have such a great high priest, Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We don't have to, you know, if somebody asks you, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? We don't have to say, well, I hope so, or I think so. That's not what this verse is teaching us. It's saying, let us come boldly. Let us come confidently. Not based upon how we're living, but based upon the promises of God and that we're striving to live as He teaches us to live in His Word. But we're going to recognize our imperfections and our shortcomings. But what are we doing about those imperfections and shortcomings? Are we trying to improve them? Are we trying to turn away from them too? Or are we justifying and excusing them? But if we're genuinely growing in faith and striving to do His will and live to His glory as He teaches us in His Word, He says you can come with every confidence. You can approach the throne of His grace. But you have access to the grace of God, the mercy of God. But you dwell in the love of God. James 5 and verse 11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. And you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We know so much more than Job did. We understand the trials and the tribulations of life. We understand that the faithful are put to the test. Job didn't understand what was happening to him. But he remained faithful. Let us remain faithful. Let us endure. Hebrews 7 and verse 25 says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives and makes intercession for them." Our faith, our trust is in Jesus, who died on a cross but rose from the dead and now sits at the right hand of God, reigning over the realm of the saved, the faithful, the humble, who turn from themselves and their sins to walk hand in hand their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." This life presents us with many concerns, valid concerns. God is saying, present your concerns to me. With prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. Before you ever see the answer to the prayer, thank God that He's heard your prayer and He's going to answer your prayer in a way that's going to be best for you, in a way that His light is going to be seen in you. Don't worry about anything. Walk in His Word, trust Him, obey Him, serve Him, and you don't have anything to worry about. You have a God who sees your situation, who hears your petitions, and will grant your petitions in accordance with His wisdom. From His perspective, being able to see from where you can't see, God will be with you. Don't look back. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in His standard of righteousness and His judgments. And always do His will, whatever is before you. Let us individually take heed of these things. Let us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, encourage each other in these things and continue in these things. Are you part of us? Us who have come out of the darkness to walk in His light? Us who have sinned like you have sinned, but we've turned from our sin. We've let Jesus pay the price for our sin. And He wants to pay the price for your sin, if you'll let Him. If you'll repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. But if you'll turn from your sin to live with Him, to live for Him, confess Him as the Son of God. Jesus said, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism is for the remission of sins. It's there where that mystery of how can the blood of Christ wash away my sins? It's in that act of obedience to God, that trusting obedience to God. I don't know how, I just know that His promise is sure. Now, when we obey Him in that act of baptism, with a repentant heart and a true desire to serve Him in our lives, that He speaks our sins forgiven, and we rise to walk with Him no longer in our life and our sin, but we rise to walk with Him in newness of life, as His Word teaches us. Let us be committed to do that. If you have not obeyed the Lord in baptism, then everything's ready today. And you can be part of us who share in these promises and this hope. You're here today and you're a child of God and you haven't been patient. You've looked back. You're not walking faithfully with Him. You realize you're out of favor with Him. Jesus said, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What a great spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. That when we have sinned, we can return to Him if we are genuinely repentant. If you're subject to the invitation in any way today, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?